What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
We do have breaking news now at 11:30. The suspected gunman in an attack at the White House Correspondents' Dinner just made his first court appearance since his arrest on Saturday. New details from inside that hearing and the felony charges he now faces. You're watching Eyewitness News at 11:30. We're live on ABC 7, Hulu, and wherever you stream. I'm Philip Palmer.
And I'm Colleen Sullivan. The suspect, Cole Allen, now facing three felony counts of attempted assassination of the president. Allen walked into court wearing a blue jumpsuit before taking a seat. He will be charged with two counts of using a firearm during a crime of violence and one count of assault on an officer using a dangerous weapon.
ABC's Olivia Rubin is live in Washington, D.C. with some of the details. These are breaking details, including a possible motive. Olivia?
Philip, good afternoon. This would appear to be the third attempt on President Trump's life in just 2 years. And he said he wasn't afraid and is praising law enforcement for stopping the suspect. But still, there are so many questions here, including how the suspect was able to get those weapons inside the hotel in the first place.
Today, the man accused of storming the White House Correspondents' Dinner, armed with two guns and a knife, set to make his first court appearance and face federal charges. Law enforcement identifying the suspect as 31-year-old Cole Thomas Allen. President Trump, Vice President Vance, multiple cabinet members, and thousands of journalists inside the ballroom at the Washington Hilton Saturday night when police say Allen ran past a security checkpoint. The president posting this video of the alleged suspect. Police say Allen shot a security service member before agents took him into custody. Trump and the First Lady on stage when gunshots rang out. Soon rushed out by Secret Service. Trump recounting that moment on CBS this weekend.
And they said, please go down to the floor. Please go down to the floor. So I dropped to the floor. So did the First Lady.
And praising law enforcement for acting quickly. Authorities say Allen booked a room at the hotel and traveled by train from California. Saturday night, they believe Allen used a stairwell out of public view to get close to that ballroom downstairs. And in a message sent to his family just before the attack, sources say Allen described himself as a, quote, friendly federal assassin, describing grievances against the Trump administration, saying he planned to target officials, prioritizing them from highest ranking to lowest.
We are actively combing through all the evidence that we've collected and going to continue to do that today and in the coming days and weeks.
And now a Secret Service after-action review examining the security and possible lapses is already underway here. That's according to an official brief on the internal procedures at the agency. This will go step by step through the security planning and deployment to see if there were any lapses here. Guys.
Now, Olivia, you were in the ballroom when the shooting happened. We're used to covering these events. Now, did you hear the shots? And then what did you do once you heard what was happening?
Certainly, we cover this all the time, but it's another thing to experience it. Certainly, I did hear the gunshots ring out. I actually happened to be standing at my seat at the time, so I was facing sort of that main door area. Heard multiple loud bangs, which we couldn't confirm in the moment were shots, but certainly sounded like it. And from then on is when we sort of saw this massive law enforcement response, Secret Service running down the center of that room, trying to get to President Trump, get to the other officials that were in the room, like Secretary Kennedy, Secretary Hegseth, Stephen Miller, all part of the Trump administration. And it was chaos, really, to get them out of there, but also for everyone in the room immediately hitting the ground, hiding under tables, hiding under chairs, but also trying to figure out what's going on, trying to report out the situation. But it is so striking to see sort of the confusion that can spread in that moment, not knowing exactly what you're hearing, not knowing if there's more to come. But of course, thankful that in that moment, everyone was able to get out uninjured.
Absolutely. So thankful for that. Okay, Olivia Rubin, thank you so much for your live report from Washington and your insights from that night. Stay with Eyewitness News for the latest on the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the suspected shooter's local ties. We'll also push out any major updates to our ABC 7 Los Angeles app.
Well, didn't mean to shut it down. welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I should have just went. That's how I should have did it, right? Anyway. Welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And you're rocking out here live on Philly Fridays at FetLife Station at FetLifeStation.com. And also, you can catch us. If you can't find us here, you can find us on many, many, many of your streaming and podcast apps. Just look for us at the True Stories Podcast Network. That's the True Stories Podcast Network. All right. And as you already know, you're locked in. You can't leave. You know, we don't play those games over here. You come, you sit down, you eat, you sit your ass down. All right. You already know who we on. So I just want to look at that, because that what you just heard was something that recently happened with the Trump administration. Apparently, someone at the White House Correspondents' Dinner that they have every year with the press and the the press that has access to the White House and so forth. So apparently somebody, this noodle neck brother, broke in there and tried to take down the whomever. I guess his target was Trump, but you had the whole brain trust, if you can call it brain trust, of America in that room at that moment. It's just ridiculous, because this really doesn't pass the sniff test. And on this particular broadcast, we're going to be talking about things that seem stranger than fiction. All right. That's one of them. You know, as we as the world turns. But before we get into that, man, I really want to get into this whole debacle that's going on. And normally I don't talk about tabloid BS too much, because I think we have a higher calling. But things like this do need to be brought to the carpet. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the current saga concerning Megan Thee Stallion and Klay Thompson and their, public breakup. My issue with that whole, because celebrities, as far as I'm concerned, they're not real in terms of, like, their experiences are not our experiences. All right? We don't have access like they do. Publicly speaking, most people don't care about our day-to-day life, things going on. These same celebrities that we clamor over don't even know you exist. So I really don't really, like, I had to find out about all of these things secondhand. Typically, the Gutter Patrol was live posting responses and comments on social media. And I saw a lot of the fellas, right? A lot of the brothers were posting jokes. And, let me see if I can find it, man, because there's something that I want to point out that occurred on Instagram in response to it. I'm gonna find it while we're talking, I promise you. So, in addition to that I just, you know, we get to see a lot of different things, a lot of different responses from people. And one of the responses that I saw, well, many of the responses that I saw, was I saw a lot of, you know, just negative responses towards brothers, right? And we always see that, right? So that's nothing new. But my problem with this is the sort of the levels of vitriol that the women in our community seem to find when it comes to dealing with the brothers and dealing with black men who, you know, it's like they're real quick to go from 0 to 60 when it comes to their ability to establish anguish or anger towards us, right? So I want to I want to point something out. First and foremost, you know, we really need to address this if there is going to be a black community. There can't be a situation where, you know, women are hanging on the edge, the tip of despair or the tip of disdain for us whenever the situation suits them or whenever a circumstance comes up. Then it's all, you know, it's hatred towards all black men. Black men, you don't like black women. And it's like that's so lazy in terms of trying to articulate the issues, to jump to those sudden conclusions. And, you know, we this is historically now something I want to address, because not only are we seeing it now with the women are actually breaking up their own relationships due to the fact that Megan Thee Stallion claims that she was cheated on by Klay Thompson and they had a breakup. You got women talking about breaking up their own relationships in solidarity with Megan Thee Stallion. You want to talk about something that's insane? You really want to talk about something that really sort of like draws my ire? It's like how pitiful do you have to be? How much of a bird brain do you have to be to allow the happenings in a celebrity relationship between people you don't know, and you don't even know the circumstances of the relationship, because, you know, Klay Thompson hasn't said anything, right? This has been all Megan Thee Stallion. Every shred of information, whether it's even posting the fact that she was doing dinners and cooking for this man, whether she's meeting his family, all this stuff, the breakup, the messy breakup, all of this stuff is coming directly from her. Like, why is social media the diary, the public diary for all of the private things that happens in people's lives? This is weird to me. You don't have girlfriends you can call. You don't have a group of friends, a circle of friends, family you can call or contact. This is so immature, but it also speaks to our inability to perform or function socially, you know, in society. Because this is not something that any person, a mature person, goes to in order to deal with these circumstances and situations. Especially now, considering, you know, the level of celebrity you are. Many of them should just keep their business quiet. But, you know, I'm going to get back to what this sounds like in a minute. But not only do you have that situation, you have the election, Kamala Harris, women talking about leaving the community to burn, leaving the entire, the whole of society. Black women are no longer coming through to rescue anybody. But then there was anger and vitriol towards black men, where you had women wishing death on black men. I did a whole show about this, probably the most viral, in terms of my language, since I've been doing this, particular podcast on this network, because it bothered me to see women that would expect me for me to risk my life to save a stranger. To know that deep down she could literally not just care less if I live or die, but she's hoping that I die. Anyway, well, that's not all of it. That's not all of it. Well, you know, y'all make up. It's really hard to distinguish who's who in these particular situations anymore. And y'all don't really try to play. Too many of y'all play the gray area. One foot in, one foot out. Kind of lukewarm. So we don't know where y'all go. Y'all go wherever you feel as though you can get the most validation in the most cases. And many of the times, y'all snapping y'all heads and snapping y'all necks and kiki and And that's right, girl, when it comes to circumstances like this. We got videos of women plotting with the Ku Klux Klan on how to extinguish black men. We have, what did Kobe Bryant ever do to black women? For black women to celebrate his death. And I want to correlate something with that, right? Because bell hooks is probably one of the chief architects of the of creating a narrative that paint black men as to being abusive, to paint black men as to being negligent, all off of anecdotal experience. Not one strand or one bit of a proof or statistical backing or findings to verify whether or not it's not just anecdotal, but these things are regular occurrences. When she died, I myself redirected a young brother for attempting to celebrate her death, because we don't get down like that. We don't get in the mud like that. But Kobe Bryant dies, his black daughter dies, and it's a bonfire and a celebration from black women. What is up with that? Bill Cosby. The majority, like 99% of Bill Cosby's offenses were not committed towards black women. But black women made it their point to place themselves in harm's way by stating that he offended black women, just because you had one woman in particular. What is it, Beverly Johnson, who had a story that nobody could corroborate. Yeah, black women jumping out of the bushes with no shirt on, bare chest and all. Meanwhile, Harvey Weinstein and Epstein, you know, go to their trials unfettered, unharmed, unbothered. Backdoor deals being done. Nobody's trying to, you know, you don't see the sisterhood petitioning any of that. So then you have, not only did you have that, excuse me, but then you had the unmitigated gall to celebrate the death of Kevin Samuels. Something that will not be forgotten in regards to just because when and most of y'all don't even, most people think, oh, it wasn't just Kevin Samuels. Many were celebrating the fact that an iconic black man died and that other black men may have looked up to him, appreciated his wisdom, and appreciate the fact that there was a black man who publicly said, black man, you have value. And we know for a fact that in the gynocracy, a black man is not, his value is not supposed to surpass that of the woman in the community. That's why the women are always always competing against the men. That's why when women come up in dates, they talk about their resume. They bring their resume to a date. Well, I have 6 degrees. I have all these different titles and positions. And I live in this, you know, mini mansion, you know, loft and all this other stuff. And it's like, all right, well, can we eat? You know, it's like... But the hatred is there. And it's something that until that's addressed, I'm not going to tell brothers they have to settle with black women. Because no man should step into a situation for which he has to jump over the hurdle of this thing just to feel as though she kind of, sort of likes him. We don't even get good compliments from women. All our compliments start off as backhanded insults. Oh, you think you look good today? Or who you trying to go out with? You know, it's like, damn. I know you don't think you fine. You know, like, whoa. I got up today, I felt good. I looked in the mirror, I put the tie on, I got the bow tie on, I feel good today. Nah, we're not really allowed to enjoy or experience joy. You know, there has to be a way to knock us down a few pegs. And that's why I tell brothers, man, don't allow... And I know, typically speaking, the value of a man is pretty much the, based in the qualifications of the women of the community, because they pretty much decide. But in this particular situation, we have, as men, sometimes you have to step away from that when the deck is stacked against you. So, you know, in black men, we can't seek validation in black women. It's not coming. But I want y'all to check out something too, right? Because we're going to come back to this whole Meg Thee Stallion thing. I want to play a clip. I'm going to turn this down a little something. Well, actually, I'm just going to stop it for a second. I want y'all to hear something about this whole Meg Thee Stallion thing. You know, yeah, I'm going to see if I can do this, because you got to do this fast with some of these clips. So hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me try this.
I'm not one of these guys that's cheering for anybody to get cheated on, men or women. I am absolutely happy with, and I'm absolutely rooting for these women to fail relationally. I am. And I mean it. I want the women that are setting our women up for failure to fail. I don't want the reward to be at the end for women who are twerking during presidential elections on stages. Women that are making the black community embarrassing and living up to every stereotype, embarrassing us every time they get in front of a microphone, how they display themselves, how they carry themselves overseas, sending a message that our women can move like 304s, move like prostitutes, move like escorts, carry themselves that way, lie to men, drug men, and then the reward at the end is Russell Wilson and Klay Thompson.
Right.
No, I want these women to fail. I want them to. And I want them to fail in spectacular ways so that the women who aren't as rich, don't even look as good, recognize that's not the move. You just end up looking crazy. Because women that don't look like that, don't have that pretty privilege, don't have that type of money, and don't have that type of clout and status, y'all are trying to do the same thing. And then you're shocked and wondering why you're saying all men ain't shit. You don't even have the leverage she have, and she don't have that type of leverage over those men on that list. The only man that she had to have leverage on was the one she had to send to jail.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
And the second piece I'm going to put out there is, question, if men really believe that Tory Lanez is innocent, why would we cheer for her? If we really believe a black man is innocently in jail, and that the two witnesses that were not directly involved in the incident, the driver or bodyguard and a random pedestrian that was eyewitness, both said they saw a female with the gun, and that they did not see him at any point, and his fingerprints were never on the gun, if we really believe he didn't do it, why would we cheer for her?
And that's our good brother Jeff over at Ask a Brother Podcast. Dr. Jeff, all right? Let's get, make sure we respect brother. And listen, I can't agree anymore. I'm tired of the narrative or the attempt being that a woman could be like basically this is Julia Roberts looking for her Richard Gere. You've been a prostitute all your life. You've been out here promoting prostitute culture. You've been out here promoting thought culture. You don't deserve a happy ending. Not when it comes to dealing or landing a solid and decent man. Listen to how many women are breaking up with their men right now because of how much they bought into the narrative of being Meg Thee Stallion. Look at how many women out there right now who tried to live that life. They don't count my bodies. You don't want my, you don't, our history shouldn't matter, but we know what your history is in too many cases. In too many cases, we know your history. We know your anthems, and girls can do it too. We know your anthems. So why do you deserve to ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after? No. You need to be a cautionary tale. Just like I tell a lot of these brothers about the fact that things they do are cautionary tales. And we're going to hear some of these in a little bit. I promise you, I got a couple. But that's a cautionary tale, circumstance, and situation. And this is the same woman that got on stage and said, "We might like you niggas, but we don't need you niggas." That's the same woman that got on the stage and said that. Right after getting off on that case with all the questionable circumstantial evidence involving Tory Lanez going to jail. And the cautionary tale was the shit. He should have told them who pulled the trigger. I don't know if he testified. Now, he should have told them who had that damn gun. Because we all know the story. And you want to talk about cheating on somebody. I'm not even going to get into the details of that situation that happened in that car that day. It which led to the whole situation with her on the sidewalk crying on the curb in a bikini. That's neither here nor there. I'm not rooting for somebody who breaks up, who creates situations and circumstances where women feel like it's a day-to-day. So, and black women, y'all should be insulted by this shit. Be honest with you. You should be insulted that a person like Megan Thee Stallion can be an ambassador for black women, a representative for black women. That should be the insult to the highest level and degree. That somebody thinks so low of you that during a presidential campaign, in order to rally, get a rally, for y'all to rally behind her, they bring Megan Thee Stallion on the stage and she's twerking for Kamala Harris's first campaign, as you know, in terms of like after the whole note of the Democrats voting basically that, you know, Joe Biden was incompetent. Her first public appearance is with Megan Thee Stallion. And I thought, damn, at least if she's on the stage, she won't do it. Nope, here she go, twerking. Twerking. That's an indictment on all black women. That's y'all public image. And too many of y'all feel like you should be free and liberal enough, liberated enough to do anything you want without having to deal with the consequences. Let me tell you what a pastor told me one time in church. You can do the action, but you can't control the consequence that comes with the action. The repercussions of your actions. You can't choose those. You're not at liberty to do so. But let us move on. Because we have some, we have a bunch of situations and circumstances, right? Stranger than fiction. And what's this one? So, I want y'all to listen to how this woman is talking to her daughter. I want y'all to peep how this woman is talking to her daughter.
Right.
Unless.
No, not that one. Not that one. I want y'all to peep how this woman is talking to her daughter as her daughter is doing dishes in the home. This is again, a blemish on the sisterhood. There we go. Listen.
Little girl, and you ain't gonna be nothing in life. Nothing in life. Nothing. Just nothing. No, you're not. You will not. You're going to be just you're going to be just like your family on the other side. Low down, retarded, nothing. Yeah, you will. You slow and retarded. You dumb little girl. You just dumb. Just dumb. Just dumb. You're going to be nothing in this world. Nothing. No, you won't.
Yeah. What is that? What is that? How do you talk to your daughter like that? And she's the product of you. And not only do you talk to her like that, why is it on social media for the entire world to see? Why is it on display for you? And this girl's face is on, and this child's face is on here. But we don't call this misogyny. We don't call this abuse. Right? We don't call this abuse. We got more abusive situations to talk about. I want y'all to check this one out real quick. I want y'all to check this joint out real quick. Hold on. Check this out.
Convicted of throwing a homemade dynamite stick at her boyfriend while he was sleeping and blowing off his hand. On Friday, 35-year-old Kiana Waddell was found guilty in connection with the March 2024 incident. The Suffolk County DA's office said the incident turned violent during a heated argument between the couple. Waddell had previously threatened her boyfriend with dynamite, but he never thought she had followed through with her threats, according to the DA. The victim woke up and heard a hissing sound before seeing the flame. He attempted to toss the dynamite outside, but the bomb exploded and blew off most of his hand. The victim was ultimately rushed to Nassau University Medical Center, where the rest of his hand and part of his arm were amputated. Waddell was found guilty of assault and several criminal weapons possession charges. She will be sentenced on March the 27th.
Yeah, what the... Okay, so there's a few things here, right? And I'm going to read you the article that came with that. All right. So, this is just a brief. Kiana Waddell was convicted of assault after throwing dynamite into a boyfriend's bedroom. Her boyfriend lost his hand after he tried to throw the dynamite out of the room. Waddell faces up to 25 years in prison. Now, this happened on Long Island, and it happened about a year ago. Happened about a year ago, March 22nd of 2024. So apparently, this young woman, well, I ain't gonna call her a young woman, this woman, age 35, of Deer Park, New York, Long Island. I'm not sure if it's Long Island, but the incident occurred in Long Island, Suffolk County. apparently they had gotten into an argument. He told her to leave the apartment. He came back to the apartment. He assumed she was gone. He goes to sleep, and then he was awakened to the hissing sound of the fuse of a lit stick of dynamite burning. He then tried to throw the stick of dynamite out of the room. I don't know whether he tried to throw out a window or what. And then it went off in his hand. Now, keep in mind, I want y'all to think about something, right? How hateful do you have to be? How vengeful do you have to be to throw a stick of dynamite in somebody's car window? How vengeful do you have to be? In addition to being vengeful, because we've seen women running over men with cars, this is when they talk about interpartner domestic violence, like interpartner violence, IPV. Many of the times you hear about the situations in the black community is always about the men being abusive. We never talk about the women and their abuse. If the woman do things, there was some, you know what women were saying when they saw this? What did he do to make her want to do that? Damn. There's no, I want to use the word accountability, but I think that word is overused right now. Like, there's no autonomy in her own actions. I don't give a damn what he did. If he did something that was so violent, then call the cops. Call law enforcement. But to feel as though you have the right to maim a person. And who knows where she threw the stick of dynamite? It could have been at his head for all we know. Well, we see women running over men with cars. We see women shooting the men in the back. They're trying to leave hostile situations. They're getting shot in the back. Thank God that you have videotape out now. People, you got cats videoing and recording their abuse. So when a law enforcement shows up, that they can actually have proof of the fact that they did not start the conflict. The woman that stabbed the man all in his back and then called the cops. And it was on, like, thank God he recorded it on his phone. So when the cops looked at it, they were like, yo, we got to take you in. And I'm going to say something about you ding-dong Negroes. All right? Because this is another cautionary tale. If she threatened to blow you up with a stick of dynamite, if she threatened to... Why would you even take a chance with it? When chances are you already know her character and you know what she's capable of. And a lot of you idiots are suffering from the same thing that we accuse these women of suffering from. A lack of imagination. If she tells you she's even mouthing the fact that she can do that, bro, you should have ended that shit a long time ago. You should have got her out the house. You should have changed the locks, or you should have moved. One of two. What are you still doing there? It makes no sense to me. About playing games with people who and I, listen, I've learned my lessons too. I'm not going to front like I never went through no stuff like that. Physical harm. I had one woman who mouthed possibly doing something to me, but by then, we were far apart, and the things I said in return sort of deterred any thought of her possibly following through. That's all I'm going to say. I don't play with my life, and I don't play with the lives of my loved ones. Don't cross the line. It's all I'm going to say. But anyway, you as men, you got to be smarter than that. And so many of you fools. She calls the cops on you. The cops pull up. You got a recording of her harming you. And the police officer's like, okay, we're going to take her down. And then you start petitioning. Nah, I don't think she should go in here. Why? Why? So she can get a second chance at doing more harm? And now she's feeling invincible because she could do whatever she wants to you? And you'll be okay? Like women in the black community champion this thing about throwing hot grits on a man while he's sleeping. That's like a thing. And they kiki and giggle about that shit in the kitchen over drinks, over wine. That's still a thing. I recently heard a story about that happening not too long ago. Some things are stranger than fiction, man, but y'all gonna learn. Y'all gonna learn. These women trying to run y'all over with cars and then y'all back with them. Man, you got your damn mind. A lot of y'all are just suckers, man. You know, there's no such thing as a love that deep, a love that strong. Nothing. No, I can't put my finger on anything that wild. I just can't do it. So, and then like, how many times we gotta tell you dudes about being stepdaddies? How many times we gotta tell y'all about being stepdaddies? But you know, I'm gonna show you. I want y'all to check this joint out. I want y'all to check this one out right here. This man right here. I'm gonna just turn it down just a tad bit. So, okay. Listen to this shit. Hold on. Oh, no, this is a different one. All right. Nah, I don't want to play this one. This is gonna be one for next week, for sure. The one I just had. It's gonna be one for next week. This is it. Now, check this shit out, right? I want y'all to listen to this.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I got a question for you. I just left our daughter's house, your daughter's house, and you know she's graduating, and she was telling me that she wanted, I guess her biological father just came back into her life or whatever the case after 17 years, and she wanted him to come to the graduation, but in order for that to happen, I have to give up my ticket, and she told me that you knew something about this.
Yeah, I didn't know something about it. And is so, that a problem?
You don't think it's a problem? Like after 17 years? Like you don't think that's a problem?
No, I don't think it's a problem at all. Because if she want her daddy back in her life, put her daddy back in her life.
So you want me, so after 17 years, this dude come around, look, he can be there. But y'all want me to give up my ticket to let him come. Don't I pay for that entire graduation? I got her first
you should
crib.
Expect, okay, and we appreciate everything that you did. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be her daddy, and she wants just her daddy to come back in her life. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Y'all trifling as hell, man. You mean to tell me? So what is you? What's up with you and him? Y'all back together or something? Because it has to be something to it. Because ain't no man after 17 years, ain't no man just going to pop back up and, oh, I want to be at your graduation now. Ain't no man do it. And what type of man is he?
And I'm going to stop that right there for a second, because I'm going to tell you like this. I know, and bro, I ain't mad at you for being mad. For me, I wouldn't have needed to know none of the rest of that shit. I wouldn't have needed to know any more of that. If you want to tell me that this man gets my ticket and then he wants to be back, I don't care if he wants to be back in his daughter's life. That's cool. My ticket, you agree with it? Cool, we done. That's a, you know what? Okay, cool. I've been like, you know, me, I'm all right, bet. I would have quietly either, you know, moved towards getting my own place, or I would have worked them on, like, there would have been a divorce. I would have separated my finances, and I'd be employing the counsel of an attorney at that particular time to discuss my options. I go to the bank to discuss my options financially, especially if there's shared accounts. And I'm cutting the daughter off. And these are lessons learned over the years of just seeing this selfishness, this level of entitlement that goes on when you step in as a stepdaddy. You never truly get the respect. You become the primary resources. You're expected to be the resource, but you're never respected as the true man of the house. True man of the house is the one she gave a child to, especially if y'all don't have any children after that. You want to talk about raising somebody's daughter for 17 years? You ain't even talking about your damn children? That means y'all ain't have, y'all don't, most likely y'all ain't got no children together. Let's move on.
What you mean? What type of man is he?
Listen,
he's trying to come back in his daughter's life.
Any type of man.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
But y'all in cahoots were trying to get me to give up my ticket that I paid for?
Ain't nobody. Come on, now, ain't nobody in cahoots. It's just that she want her daddy to see her daddy graduate. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but you brought it to her. She told me you brought it to her. You brought it. You convinced her to do that.
Because we're trying to build a family. We're trying to build a family.
After 17 years.
We're trying to build a family.
After 17 years.
Yeah, after 17 years. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Man, y'all trifling as hell, man.
And let me tell you something. There's a lot more going on. If we're trying to build a family, that means they didn't have pillow talk already. That means her and that man didn't have pillow talk already, most likely. That, it'll come on. And I know your feelings begin to be, because, you know, especially if you've invested 17 years. 17 years? Fam. Nigga, yo. All right, man. I'm gonna let him keep playing, but you know, because he's talking about like the other dude ain't really got much to do with this. I wouldn't even be questioning about what his qualifications are, what kind of man he is. Nothing to do with that. Your issue is not with that man. Your issue is with that woman and the one that you claim is a daughter. That's it. You don't have an issue with that man. You know, I mean, yeah, that's dirty. That's dirty macking. What he doing? But you can't control Dirty Mac, because she got to answer to the call, and her and her daughter both answered the call. This is that, and this is, you know, this is that whole, you know, culture, that Meg Thee Stallion culture. This is that Lotto culture. This is that Cardi B culture that we talk about. The layers and levels of disrespect and misandry towards brothers. This is the same culture. And this is why they don't deserve happy endings. Women like that. I'm going to be specific. Women like that. Now, if you're a woman out there, you're respectful to yourself. You've been modest all your life. You're not out there on the choo-choo trains. You know, you're not out there just putting your, putting your womb, you know, just putting it in harm's way every other weekend or whatever, or every 2 months, you got a plethora of partners and things of that nature. It's not talking about y'all. But the ones who practice that 304 culture, and you know who you are. So I'm trying to keep the gates open for you too. Certain things, certain avenues are cut off after that. And as men, these are the boundaries we need to start setting. So many men are depressed because of their interactions with women, because of situations like this. And I concur.
Straight up. You know
what?
This is what I'm going to do. Just like I told her, that apartment that I just got for her, I just went and pulled,
now, see, the, Dad, I you pulled wrong. The lease you
off.
Wrong for that.
I pulled the lease off of it. That graduation, wow, that I paid for, I'm finna go take all my money back. Matter of fact, I'm on my way there right now.
Now that's wrong.
So after 17 years, y'all kick me to the curb,
and that ain't trifling. So I'm just supposed to give her my money.
I'm supposed to give her my money. Okay. I took care of this girl for 17 years. Saw her through all her schools. Was at all her little milestone. I was the man there.
You don't think she appreciates that?
I mean, the damn show don't.
She appreciates
like
everything you do. But so now you're gonna do that to her?
I'm taking all.
You just gonna
shit.
Take everything from her?
I am.
And listen to the gaslighting. And this is also a part of that culture. They done did the dirt, and now you want to guilt ride him into still providing for a party he's no longer invited to. He sponsored the party, been kicked to the curb at the party. The bouncer won't let him in, but he still got to pay for all that? Man. Yo, Tyrese, what do you got to say, bro?
What more do you want from me?
You know, that, and that's what you call trifling. But you so-called want to be a daddy. But you want to be...
That's over with.
Man, come
that's
on.
Over with.
That's over with.
Yeah, that's over.
So you want you want to be out of her life just like that?
I'm done.
Just because of the graduation? Are you serious? No,
she told me that you convinced her to do it. And she ordered enough to make her own decision. So she came to me and told me she wanted to give up my ticket that I paid for to a man that hasn't been there for 17 years, right? And you don't want me to be at a graduation that I paid for? The money that I worked for and I spent and paid for, and I got her first apartment, and I'm getting kicked to the curb? I'm the bad guy now?
Ain't nobody said she was getting kicked to the curb. It's just that she wanted her daddy to come. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that.
You know what? Look, all y'all can go now, because I'm just going to take everything back.
Wow.
And I'm
going to
let y'all in. That's how it is.
I'll be wrong.
Don't worry about it. Hey, look, I tell you what, I'm about to get off this phone. I want y'all to go have a happy family together because I'm out that shit.
Oh, you wrong.
That's right. Sure, right. Like, I'm supposed to just stick around and let something like this go down. Man, I've been there for 17 years. Man, I ain't trying to hear that crap, man. Straight up.
I give him credit for that. All's well that ends well. I have to give him credit for that. Now, y'all might want to know, like in terms of, you know, this whole concept of what we're dealing with now. The world is full of times of cautionary tales, things that are stranger than fiction. And here is something. Another part that's stranger than fiction.
The original versions of famous children's stories before they were cleaned up for American audiences. Number one, the original Little Mermaid. Dies Anderson's 1837 original does not end with a wedding. The mermaid fails to win the prince, who marries someone else. She is offered a chance to save her own life by killing him. She refuses and dissolves into sea foam at sunrise. Disney changed the ending in 1989. The original has been in print for 185 years. Number 2. Cinderella's Stepsisters. Have their eyes pecked out. In the Brothers Grimm version, birds peck out the stepsisters' eyes at Cinderella's wedding, one on the way into the church, one on the way out. The Grimm brothers considered permanent blindness an appropriate moral conclusion for children. Number 3. Sleeping. Beauty is assaulted while unconscious. The 1634 Italian original does not feature a kiss. A king finds the sleeping woman, assaults her, and leaves. She gives birth to twins while still unconscious. One infant removes the enchanted object from her finger, and she wakes to find herself already a mother. This predates the familiar version by 2 centuries. Number 4. Snow White's queen wants to eat her organs. In the Grimm version, the evil queen orders Snow White's lungs and liver brought back, which she intends to eat. The huntsman substitutes a boar's organs. The queen consumes them, believing they belong to Snow White. This detail was removed from every major adaptation produced for children in the 20th century. Number 5. The Pied Piper is based on a real disappearance. In 1284, 130 children disappeared from Hamelin, Germany, under circumstances never explained. The town recorded the event on their oldest existing chronicle. Stained glass depicting it was installed in the local church in the 14th century. The disappearance was real. It has never been explained. Number 6. Peter Pan kills the lost boys when they grow up. In Barry's original text, Peter Pan kills the lost boys when they start to grow up because growing up violates Neverland's rules. He does not grieve them. He simply solves the problem. Disney removed this entirely from its 1953 adaptation. Before I say the last one, make sure to hit that follow button to support the channel. Number 7. Pinocchio kills Jiminy Cricket on page 1. In Collodi's 1883 original, the cricket appears to offer moral advice. Pinocchio picks up a hammer and kills it. The ghost returns occasionally to warn him, which Pinocchio ignores. Disney transformed a character Pinocchio murdered on the first page into the moral heart of the entire film. The original...
Yeah. And that's just a taste of what cautionary tales are. I wanted to do more about that, but there were other things that I wanted to get to in this particular episode. So I really thank everybody for pulling up, man, and being a part of this. I just need y'all to understand something, man. Especially you brothers out there who consistently find yourselves in trying situations. You better pay attention to the world that's going on around you. Because a lot of the times, a lot of y'all have this in there, that's not me. You know, no, Negro, you, especially you. It's going to happen to you first. Okay? It can't be me. Yes, it can be you. It will be you. And there'll be more like you, and it won't only happen to you once, it'll happen to you more than once. Too many of you suffer from a lack of imaginations. You know, they always say something. You know, they say, the saying goes, there's a saying. A smart man learns from his own mistakes, but a wise man learns from mistakes of other people. Y'all better start developing the ability to be wise and learn from the mistakes of other people. Because as we've seen, as you've seen just in this particular episode, life can be stranger than fiction, my brothers. So with that said, family, appreciate y'all all tuning in. Hopefully some of y'all learn from these cautionary tales and don't become one yourself. And if you're already experiencing or in the middle of your own cautionary tale, look for the off-ramp. There's an exit every 3-4 miles. Make sure you hitch that ball. With that said, family, thank y'all for tuning in. Stay healthy. Protect yourself at all times. And like I always say, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.